Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, kids. A little bit of gloom and doom out there today, but not too shabby. At least it's not raining or snowing yet. I felt like the snow was going to be coming earlier this week, and let's hope it holds off for this weekend, last weekend of the regular season for high school football. Those seniors out there, a lot of those kids playing their last game. Tonight, good luck to all of them and all those families, and congratulations on a great career to all of you. That is just one of the things, obviously, going on this weekend. Ohio State has the weekend off, and, of course, the World Series starts tonight. Cavaliers continue back in action, and the Browns and Patriots will play in their big Week 8 matchup, and it is on the road where the Patriots have a four-game winning streak, and Drake May is playing very good quarterback. What will the Browns do as they bounce back after last week's win? It's not really bouncing back at that point, but to have the Browns set back out on the field after a victory. So a lot of things we're going to talk about in today's show. Brian Anderson is going to join us at 11:20, super friend of the show. Geneva native, former Indians pitcher, and now color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. Excuse me, looking forward to his conversation about the World Series and just everything in general when it comes to baseball. And as you know, he's a huge Browns fan. In fact, at one point, hosted a Browns television show right here in Northeast Ohio. At 12:40, we will talk to Tim May of the Tim May Show with Clay Hall. Buckeyes have the week off. What should we be looking at as far as quarterbacks all across college football when it comes to the Browns? So Tim's going to help us fill in on that. Plus Kevin Stefanski's press conference a little bit later today. And of course, it's Friday, so we always provide you with quick predicts. And we'll do two keys and a lock at some point. So my name is Andy Baskin. Jeff is off today. And, of course, Dan Menigan fills in when Jeff is not here. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm well. Is this the weekend?
Which one?
Is this the weekend where every major over-the-top football sports fan looks at their significant other and their children and go, yeah, maybe let's go pick some pumpkins?
Oh, no, that's next weekend.
Oh, no, I think this is the pumpkin picking weekend.
Yeah, why? Because one's Halloween.
You look at the college football slate.
I mean, I know it's the 31st. Don't say, oh, it's a week from today. Yeah, maybe.
You look at the college football slate. This is a, this might be the one clunker weekend you're going to get in October to go, all right, you know what, kids? We're not watching football today. Let's get in the car and head on down and do the hayride, and we'll do all that stuff, and we'll pick some pumpkins and have ourselves a really fun fall Saturday. And you look like a fantastic parent, and you look like a fantastic spouse, and it's all because it's not really that good of a college football weekend.
Do you like the fact Ohio State has two byes?
I'm fine with it.
I'm not, good with it now that we know what the...
I'm not an Ohio State fan like you are, though.
Yeah, but if I was a college football team that I knew had the potential, you don't even have to be 100% guarantee that you could have a long run into the college football playoff. I think it's beneficial to take the second week off. I mean, think about how long Ohio State's football season was last year. The longest in the history of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to take that second week off, I think is key. I also thought that when they scheduled this bye week off, knowing that Penn State was on the horizon, clearly was a week for them to kind of reset because they knew they would have a big game. I don't know that I would take the week off before Michigan, but if they move that Michigan game, I might consider it. If the Michigan game gets moved to the middle of the season, I would think about it.
I still hope they don't.
I think it's going to have to happen at some point.
I hope some semblance of the old system of college football continues to hang around. I don't want to lose what I, you know, there's so much tradition in that
stuff. Google Big Ten standings and you'll know that's out the window.
Well, but hang with me on this.
Okay.
Because this is one of those moments that's like sentimental over anything else. Like there's college football is changing. They're getting away from a lot of the traditional things of college football. And a lot of that stuff is needed to evolve and go for a good period of time. But some of it is what makes college football great. Having that Thanksgiving weekend where here's the Egg Bowl, here's Ohio State, Michigan, here's Wisconsin, Minnesota, here's all of Michigan, you know, here's all of these great rivalry games that are taking place and just fantastic end of season. This is the biggest games that you're going to get is so much fun. Like it's one of those things that makes college football really cool is at the tail end of the season was all of these rivalry games for all of these trophies that you look up every year and sit there and find yourself giggling at as, you know, two teams are going at each other for the keg of nails.
Oh, the Illibuck to me is always the fun one.
Yeah. There's the Egg Bowl is the perfect example. Like
Apple Cup.
The Apple Cup is another fantastic one. Like there's something about all of that you can keep that element of tradition while still evolving. And so I hope they don't move like Ohio State, Michigan from the last weekend of the college football season. And I hope they keep all those rivalries in one place because it just makes it so much fun. I mean, Alabama, Auburn, I'll never forget watching that in my uncle's TV room area that he had as the kick six when they were going for the field goal and the kid from Alabama caught it. And I think it was Alabama. Can't remember, was it Alabama or Auburn, but nonetheless caught it and then ran back like those great moments on Thanksgiving weekends of watching those great rivalry games. You know, I hope they don't
move. I'm going to bring this up, and I know we're getting into the Browns here in a second, this game against the Patriots, but I mean, at what point does college football not become the NFL when, and this is one of the reasons why you may want to move the Michigan game up, that let's just say, you know, you're, I don't know what, 9-0 going into your last week of the season. And you've already clinched your conference championship berth to get into the bowl game. And you know that you're going to be in the playoffs. And you know you're going to have to. So why wouldn't you play your second or third? I mean, again, it's Ohio State, Michigan. So I understand all that. But would you not rest guys the week before the conference championship?
Coaches are wired that way. That's the only reason. They're not wired like NFL coaches.
But the way the schedule's starting to lay out, it smells a lot like the NFL schedule. And so why would you, we're going to give this quarterback a rest against. I just don't, as long as Michigan's there, I don't think they'll do it there. But, you know, if you had North, any school, Our Lady of the Atlantic Ocean. How's that sound? So you're playing Our Lady of the Atlantic Ocean the last week of the season.
Got a hell of a swim team.
Oh my God. They really are good. Their water polo team's pretty good, too.
Unbelievable rowing.
But if you know you're playing them the last week of the season, why would you play your starters? If you knew you were in the playoffs and you knew you had already clinched a berth, if they're still playing conference championships moving forward. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think they'll always play conference championships just because you're
there's too much money on the line.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so much cash that's involved in all of that. So I think they're always going to be there. I just wonder if, can you thread the needle between tradition and modern? How much cash can we possibly grab? And I think having that last weekend be rivalry weekend is one of the ways that you could thread that needle by having it be what we've all love about college football while still making boatloads upon boatloads of Scrooge McDuck level cash. Like that's how I think you could thread that needle. And I don't know how many times you're going to truly run into teams benching their entire team. The only time you'd have to worry about that would be, let's say, hell, for the sake of the Big Ten, let's say the top two teams are Ohio State and Michigan once again. They're going to play that last weekend of the year, and then they're going to have to play each other next weekend in the Big Ten title game. That would be the only one that I think you would run into that situation, but I think you'd be willing to roll the dice because of how big these conferences have become that I don't know how many times you're going to truly run into that conundrum.
See, part of the thing that I liked about the college football playoff last year is that you didn't have a bunch of teams or schools across the nation have their best players drop out for the NFL draft. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So you were playing in meaningless bowl game, which could be the Rose Bowl, right? Which is traditionally this great bowl game. But now all of a sudden, it's a national quarterfinal.
Right.
You're not dropping out. You're playing.
And that's that needle that I was talking about threading. Yeah. Where you could figure out, okay, can we do the Sugar Bowl? Can we do the Peach Bowl? Can we do the Fiesta Bowl? Can we do the Rose Bowl? Can we still have these massive bowl games be a massive deal with better players playing while still making hand over fist large amounts of money? and they figured out how to do it there. So why can't they figure out how to do it for rivalry weekend?
It's a good point. It's a good point. I do want to move forward here. Well, that's okay. It's an interesting conversation. You know, you sit here and you look at college football and you're trying to figure out what we're going to see. But you're right. This is a good weekend to get stuff done on a Saturday. Next week will be a good weekend to get stuff done on a Sunday, right? You might find your church again on Sunday in case you've lost it for the last couple of weeks, too. And I'm sure there are plenty of ministers and pastors out there that will be happy to see you next Sunday. But, you know, you look at the Browns. They're going up against the Patriots. If they didn't win last week, and I know this is a ding, but I was on Nesson TV this morning. And, you know, we were talking about Mike Vrabel and his impact, you know, on the Browns last year. And I just said it's a good thing the Browns won last week against Miami, because every phone call this week would have been about why did we let Mike Vrabel leave the building? It would have been. And you know I'm right.
Well, you still might get that on Monday anyway.
No, you probably will. Well, we should be saying the same about Kyle Shanahan. Why did we let Kyle Shanahan leave the building?
Well, I mean, he put together a PowerPoint presentation that was very, very persuasive.
Back when people were doing PowerPoint presentations.
That is correct.
That's passé, isn't it now?
I mean, he somehow
managed... Oh, my God, Dan, you're so old. PowerPoint presentation.
He somehow managed to pull it off without people taking a nap. That tells you something you needed right there.
Yeah, he only had to have the attention of one person, and that was the person that let him out of his contract, right?
Yeah.
So... All right, so let's ask this question when we come back. The Browns and the Patriots all set to play. Patriots are hot. They've won four games in a row. Drake May's playing much better in year two. And Mike Vrabel has figured out something with New England they weren't able to figure out last year. How do they win this game? Can they win this game this week as we sit here on Friday and contemplate what we are about to see on Sunday afternoon at 1? Let's talk about it. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. He's Dan Menigan. He is in for Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan is in for Jeff today. Dan, tell me first of all, will the Browns win? Let me start there. Will the Browns win on Sunday?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a bad feeling about this game. I got a bad feeling.
Why?
I think it's just because Drake May has been playing so darn well. And I think it's the fact that he's been really good under pressure along with when he has time. I like the ability... that the Browns have, especially against, it is not a great offensive line when it comes to the Patriots. So you'd think the Browns defensive line would have some kind of a get some push and look really good through there. I just watch this offense week after week, and I can't rely on it to score the amount of points that I think it might take to play a game. The way that, you know, Drake May might try to throw it. Like, it feels like one of those games where it's close. And then in the fourth quarter, Drake May throws two touchdowns and we're all looking at each other going, well, they got a guy who could pull that off and the Browns don't yet. Like, that's what this game feels like to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand it. I'm a little bit more optimistic about the Browns this week. I think remembering what it feels like to win last week was kind of a big deal. And I know that, you know, they had talked about that before. I think it was Delpit that had said, you know, hey, we forgot what it's like to win. And I'm like, what? Oh, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. And so when you look at Drake May, you have to ask yourself, okay, what, you know, look at the numbers from the games, his last couple games, what he's thrown for. He hasn't had a 300-yard game yet, but he's been everywhere in between. You know, no lower than 203 and no higher than that week one game against the Raiders where he threw for 268.
75% completion percentage.
He's only thrown two picks this year. That's the other thing, too. You know, he's got wide receivers. They have playmakers. You know, again, for the Browns to win, this is what you know. It's about the Browns defense. Everything's about the Browns defense. Can they force turnovers? That is question number one. And can they contain May? That's the next point, right? I mean, he's efficient, super efficient. Mm-hmm. Last week, 21 of 23.
It's timing. Timing is the big thing with the Patriots offense.
He had a 91% completion rate last week.
Oh. It's timing with these guys. They're so good at just three steps ball out, five steps ball out. He surveys the field. He goes from there. Hey, he's quicker than you think, too. Like, he could take off and run with his legs on top of it. The big thing I've got circled in this is going to be rookie Will Campbell out of LSU going up against Myles Garrett.
Yeah, we were.
And I want to see what this looks like, because Will Campbell is super raw. He's a serious athlete, but he's just really, really raw. And so I could see where Myles Garrett would look at a guy like that and go, all right, your athletic ability, it is an amazing thing, but boy, I got athletics and I got technique on top of it. And so you're about to have a really long day at the office. And the Browns offensive line, or defensive line, I should say, has been really good. Malik Collins has been fantastic for this team. Mason Graham is starting to find his way a little bit more. Again, he's a rookie. Rookies are typically bad. As long as they look better by the end of the season, you're on the right track. Mason Graham's starting to look better and better after people looking around going, okay, where is this guy? You took him sixth overall. Where is he? Well, he's starting to show up a little bit more. So it seems like everything is moving in the right direction when it comes to the Browns defensive line going up against an offensive line in the Patriots that's shaky. So usually that's advantage Browns, and that's where you wreck this game, and that's where you fall into the Browns, I guess, formula of we're going to suppress your offense and only scoring 13 points, 15 points, and then our goal is to get to 17. And it's a sloppy, ugly football game. Does that make sense to you?
Like, I think this game is all about who gets the 20. This game is 100% all about if the Browns can get to 20 for the second week in a row, which is sad because most teams are averaging like 23 points a game. But if the Browns can get to 20, that means that their offense would have held on to the ball enough, or the defense would have scored for the offense. And that I think the Browns can go back and look at the Patriots' last two losses. Their last two losses came in games where they didn't score 20 points. In fact, they lost to what was the first one they lost? They lost to the Raiders 20-13 week one, and then they lost to the Steelers 21-14. And, you know, in the games they've won, 33, 42, 23, 25, 31. So when New England busts over 20 points, you're in trouble. But if the defense can hang on to them and keep them under 20, the Browns have a great opportunity to win. Can the Browns put something together on offense to be able to win? And I think Pittsburgh figured it out that if you can control Quinshon Judkins against, I don't know, are we going to see our eighth different offensive line set up in 8 weeks?
Sounding like Jack Conklin is on the way back.
All right, so maybe for the second time in a row, we may have a starting five that we've seen before this year. It's brutal. It's brutal. I don't know what you can ask for, but my question is, do you think that they can handle Judkins? And here's the offense for us. Let's be honest. You're not getting anything from your wide receivers. If you do, it feels like it's bonus time. So can the Browns sustain an offense with Harold Fannin Jr. and David Njoku and Quinshon Judkins? If they can do that, they will have an opportunity. And how many points is that going to get you? That smells like under 20 when you got to rely on your tight ends and your running back. One running back in particular. And if I'm New England, I'm just going back and watching the Pittsburgh film on Judkins. And by the way, I love Judkins. You know this. I've said it since day one. Like, super excited he's on the team. Half of his yards last week came on one carry. It was an awesome carry.
It was a lot of fun.
It was amazing. But, again, are we overestimating what we saw last week? Because even Miami contained him for a good portion of the game. Again, they couldn't. If they don't let up that one big run, it's a different story. And I'm not trying to Butch Davis's thing. But it's true.
Do you think the Browns stumbled into something in the run game against Miami?
In our running game?
Correct.
I think we saw Judkins be able to do what he can do. He might only get you 2 or 3 yards. The thing about it was Kevin didn't give up on it. Mm-hmm. That was the difference last week. Unlike the week before where Gabriel's throwing, 52 times?
Yeah.
Man, if he's throwing 52 times.
And, you got problems.
And 52 times and what, you have one play over 20 yards? Mm-hmm. Because the receiver, it was Fannin, I think, had a catch probably in the 10 to 15 yard range and then dragged three defenders, you know, to make it a 20 yard gain. That formula is not winning this week. That they've got to be able to establish something. But I love the fact that they went to the run and believed in the run enough that they could sit through a couple of these, you know, 2 yard gain, 3 yard gain, 2 yard gain, boom, 40 plus yard run. Like, that's where it is. We have not seen big like, that is it. Isn't that the defining moment for a big explosive play for the Browns? One run all season?
We've been screaming for 20 yard plays. You got to
find something more than that.
20 plus yard plays. We've been screaming for it from anywhere. I think they may have stumbled into something during this Dolphins game.
Tell me what you saw.
Well, this is going to sound so bad and it's going to get all the Stefanski haters all hot in a biscuit, which will be a good time. It seems like they went back to the old zone run scheme ideas that Kevin Stefanski came in with. It seems like they realize that they need to start pushing the pocket one direction, those one cut runs, all of that kind of stuff that we could get into in serious nerd corner if you so desire. But that Kubiak, Shanahan, that style of running that took over, which is what you hired Kevin Stefanski to do, it felt like last week was the first time that we saw them actually get back to that. Start using the fact that their linemen are a little bit undersized, but they're fast, and start pulling guards and pulling the center and doing all of those different things that the Browns running offense was able to do. Goodness. From 2020 to 2022, in between there, where we all looked at this run game and went, man, this thing is cooking. And yeah, some of it is the fact that Nick Chubb is really, really good at what he does. But other part of it is the fact that the offensive line has opened up massive holes for Nick Chubb to do what he does. And I thought we saw that in the Miami game. And I wonder if they have stumbled. I don't know if stumbled is the right term. But I have wondered if that switch has flipped and they went, this is what we need to do. This needs to be our identity. This needs to be how we win games. We need to go back what everybody was screaming from the beginning, which is heavy play action, run the ball. And I think we saw some of that. Now, hopefully that comes with some shots down the field as well, but that's another argument for another segment.
I think they can win this week. I do. It goes back to forcing turnovers, relying on the defense to set up the offense, not expecting more than 3 points when they get into the red zone. How about twice for the game? Three times? Look, if you can get in the end zone 3 times, against New England, I think they're going to win. I think they can win. The shootout is the last word I would use to describe this next game we're about to watch.
No, this is not going to be a shootout. Mm-hmm. If the Browns are going to win this game, it's going to be ugly. This is going to be ugly.
Yeah, I smell a 21-17, a
19-13.
Yeah, something goofy.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, because part of it is the fact that I don't think this Browns offense is wired to go that direction. They're wired to be ball control. They're not wired to really find those explosive plays because the wide receivers are just not good. And it's really hard to throw the ball down the field when your wide receivers are not good. Now Jerry Jeudy dealing with a knee injury. We'll see what that looks like. Again, Kevin Stefanski hits the podium at about 105, 110, somewhere in between there. We'll carry that live for you to find out what's going on when it comes to the injury report going into Sunday. It's not like it's going to get, at least right now, it's not going to get better.
Let me ask you this. Is New England's success a little mythical, too? I mean, they beat the Raiders. Or no, they lost to the Raiders. Let's be honest. They beat Miami, who we beat. They lost to Pittsburgh by a touchdown. They beat Carolina. They beat Buffalo. That's not mythical. But New Orleans, Tennessee...
This is not a paper tiger.
Maybe we'll find out this week.
We're going to find out, but I do not think this New England team is a paper tiger. I think they are a team where the arrow is pointing up.
And I give them a ton of credit. I'm not questioning whether the arrow is pointing up, but I mean, these last two wins, you know,
Yeah, they're also I think tail kickings, if my memory serves me decently.
31-13. I mean, Saints 25-19.
That Saints team is frisky, though. You gotta give those guys credit. Spencer Rattler can fling it, and I'm still flummoxed by that whole thing. And yeah, I really wanted to use the word flummoxed there.
They're not good, dude.
Word of the day calendar, you know? Make y'all smarter.
That is not a good team. They're 1-6.
What, that Saints team?
Yes.
They're frisky.
Frisky's so nice.
They're frisky.
So
they're not a pushover. They're not like, you know, you can't just roll over them. You got to like game plan and actually try hard because they're playing hard.
If you were Doug Nussmeier, this is, I'm going to throw this out at the break.
Oh boy.
I'm just curious. If you were Doug Nussmeier, who's their offensive coordinator, who was a hell of a quarterback at Idaho, would you want your son?
Yes.
To be their quarterback? Would you want to coach your son if you were in the NFL?
I think so. I mean, he's done it at other levels, hasn't he? I don't remember. I'm sorry, I'm putting you in a bad spot.
I don't remember. My point more is if you were an offensive coordinator in the NFL and your kid was a quarterback, I think that's a bad place to be. But let's still get back into the Browns here. I want to talk about that because we don't have to worry about that at this point. Can the Browns win this game? And if they do, how can they win this game? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in. I'm Andy Baskin. Jeff is off today. We're talking about the Browns and Patriots coming up on Sunday. Browns looking for a second straight win in a row. I want them to win. It's extremely frustrating to hear people go, ooh, let's lose draft pick higher. It's just, come on, man. We're only 8 weeks into the season, right? We're about halfway there, or this is somewhere around the halfway point. Right, so
it's both moving really fast and really slow at the same time.
Yeah, isn't it? I can't. Well, that's what happens when you play quarterback roulette, right?
Feels like the drama is on like 1.5 times speed, and the season is moving at like half speed.
All right. So, what are the Patriots saying about how to beat the Browns? I'm going to bring that up for you in a second. Terry is in Euclid. Terry, how are you?
How are you, Terry?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you think? What do you think about this one? It's a weird game.
Well, it's a weird game, and I think it's a game. Obviously, this is the NFL. You can win any game.
Yeah.
But what I will say about Kevin Stefanski over the last 6 years, if you know the San Francisco, Pittsburgh, some other teams, Kansas City, they have a system where you can plug and play players.
Yeah.
We just don't have that system. And that bothers me. After 6 years, we should have that system if you have a coach that long.
The problem is we don't have the player to replace. We just don't have too many of those guys, especially at wide receiver. I agree with you.
Yeah, the lack of wide receiver.
I agree with you.
Jeff being right, but he's right.
Those teams are great when you only have to replace one out of 11 or two out of 11. Our problem is we sit here and we're like, man, who's playing offensive line this week?
But how many times did New England change their wide receiver core?
Oh, that's true.
How many times did Kansas City change their wide receiver core? You know, how many times do Pittsburgh change their wide receiver core? I'm just saying they have a system in place that if the player's just decent, you can plug and play. And I think that's the problem with Kevin Stefanski. We just don't have a system, you know, and you haven't have an identity. We don't have an identity as well. And as far as the running game, you know, you think about this too. When Nick Chubb was making his big runs, what was going on? The wide receivers were blocking down the field. Mm-hmm. These guys don't block very well down the field. Think about the screen passes you see this year.
Yeah, not blocking and not being able to catch is a terrible combination for a wide receiver, isn't it?
So I've been told.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, you got to have blocking. That's how Nick Chubb broke off a 92-yard run. Remember the wide receiver was blocking for him all the way down the field?
Yeah.
You know, Jarvis Landry and Odell blocked. You know, and that's how he gets, instead of a 10-yard run, it's a 30-yard run.
We've never replaced Jarvis Landry. That's a problem, right? They didn't play. They didn't have the plug and play on him. Yeah, you're right.
Appreciate good stuff. It, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Have a good weekend.
To push back on that a bit, I think they could stumble into an identity with this Miami game. Like, that's what I'm fascinated by. I want to see if this Browns team comes out against New England and runs the ball 25 to 30 times. and just throws their hands up in the air and go, hey, our passing game is shaky at best. We need to give as many easy, clean throws as we can get to Dylan Gabriel. Our success is not going to be him just dropping back and throwing again and again and again. Let's run the ball and set up play action like we did against Miami. And maybe just having that monsoon taking place caused Kevin Stefanski to find exactly what this team needs to be successful. You buy that? Or is that just wishful, hopeful thinking?
Condense it and make it easier for me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to digest what you just said.
Did what you see on Sunday in the wind and the rain
maybe
cause Kevin Stefanski to stumble into the identity of this team? Is that a better condensing?
Yeah, that identity, though.
Offensively speaking, the identity of this team is its defense, but that's beside the point.
So I think what you need, though, is a lot of, like, if you were making a mix, that you would need a lot of Quinshon Judkins, 60%.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need more Dylan Sampson. Yeah, I think you need the 60.
So running backs get about 30 touches.
25% from him, and then the other, you know, fill in the rest with Jerome Ford.
Like I don't,
which seems weird because Ford's the veteran there, but I just think it's, if every team knows you're going to Judkins every time, you've got to keep them honest. And the only way they're keeping them honest now, or trying to, if two wins, is to be able to hit the tight ends. That's it.
Well, but that's where that play action game comes in. You know, that's where.
So let him breathe.
Right. That's where you make everything look the same. And then when Dylan Gabriel pulls the ball out of Quinshon Judkins' stomach or Dylan Sampson's stomach and rolls out, that's where you start getting those different, and that's where you get your shots on top of it.
And Gabriel's got to be able to see the receiver when he rolls. That's exactly. The other. And I still think it's confusing for defenses because you're just not used to it watching a left-handed quarterback roll out. I find myself all the time watching him going, wait, what? Oh, okay. Oh,
see, it doesn't bother me. I don't see it.
You see it when he rolls out. That's the time. That's when you notice it. And you're like, because you're expecting the ball to come out of his right hand. And it just seems so obvious sometimes when someone's open along the sidelines and that, you know, they'll come back and they'll button back. And it's that play last week. I think it was Jerry Jeudy that both Daryl and I were looking at each other going, how did he not see them? You know, and by the way, speaking of seeing, again, I ask you, let me ask you this because you do the postgame show. How often do you hear he's too short in the postgame show?
Not very.
We don't hear it at all.
Yeah, he's
but
too
before
short.
Before he started playing, that argument has gone completely out the window. At least, I don't know that it's gone out the window. People aren't talking about it. They're not blaming his height for issues.
I think because we're not seeing the things, the easy giveaways of a short quarterback. Like, hang with me, it's like you're not seeing a bunch of balls batted down.
Exactly.
You're not seeing a bunch of, you know, moments where he can't see over the line and is missing receivers over the middle of the field because he can't see over the line. Like, you're not running into those easy things that everybody can point to and go, well, because he's short. He hasn't ran into those situations. The million-dollar question, is Dylan Gabriel not pushing the ball down the field
I know where you're going.
Because Kevin Stefanski doesn't want him to push the ball down the field, or because he doesn't want to push the ball down the field?
I think it comes back to reads, progressions, and play calling.
And by the way, none of us are going to have this answer unless we're sitting inside of that locker room and know how the playbook is operating.
No, we see what plays. I do believe it's been drilled into his head, whether it was even in college, probably too. Obviously, live to see another day. That's how you go three games when you've... How many rookies have started their careers by throwing as many passes as he has and not throwing an interception? I mean, it just doesn't... It doesn't seem realistic. But the reason why he hasn't is because every play when he throws is a very, very high percentage pass. Right? As long as they hang on to it, it's a high percentage pass. That seems to be more the issue. Yeah, he's had a couple plays that... You know, he got bailed out on interceptions, on two of them in particular. But
and you're going to run into that. I mean, every quarterback runs into those issues where I shouldn't say it that way.
So I mean,
every quarterback finds themselves in a position where the great Mike Martz line when he joined us. Their defensive backs are not wide receivers because they can't catch.
You know, if the defense hangs on against Minnesota, he's 2-1, right? If I hate to play that game. But if the defense holds on at the end of the game against Minnesota, he's 2-1. And then how much arguing are we doing about that? You'd be excited. You'd be happy.
Yeah, if ifs and buts were
no,
candy.
No, I know. I know. I say the same thing. I
hate playing the if game. I really do. It's just one of those.
I want this team to be so much more than it is. And it's not.
Well.
The defense is. The offense isn't. It's just not. It's just not what. It's not built. It's not built to win a champion. It's not built at this point to make the playoffs. It's virtually like going into a game with one running back, two tight ends, and a quarterback you're going to not try to do too many risky things with. That's our offense, and that's kind of sad.
PFF, if you go through and do average depth of target, aka yeah. Who the quarterback is throwing to,
mm-hmm.
Dylan Gabriel's the lowest in the league.
Oh, I don't need them to tell me that.
Oh, I know. But it's one of those where your eyes aren't lying to you. The numbers are backing it up. Yes, we know, Andy, I hate to keep hammering home the same point. We knew this in April when they traded down. We knew that this year was the retool.
I can't go down this road. I don't care if it's... Listen, they've got two first-round picks... Home. Just take them wherever they land.
But this, no. This hammers your point home as to why you're looking around and going, why are they playing this way? Well, because this is the formula that comes the closest to them winning football games, which is mud it up, keep it ugly, make the opponent's offense look as horrendous as humanly possible, while your offense ekes out just enough to get past them. And that's the way that they have to play, is to fall on this defense because this offense is just trash. And it's trash because of the amount of money that is invested in poor places. And it's just, and it's banged up and it's older. And so this is the way they have to play. Yes, it hurts your soul.
Yeah, I'll tell you what this is.
When you turn on Sunday Night Football and you go, oh my God, what am I watching? This is a different sport.
When you watch Flacco and the Bengals play, it looks like a different
sport. You could take this Browns team and turn the color all the way down and watch it, and you'd pretty much line up with football of the 1960s.
There were better teams in the 60s offensively than we are. It's a hangover offense. Man, you're waking up Sunday morning and you're like, I can't really do anything. Oh, I got a headache.
But that's...
Oh, man. And you might be able to take two steps forward and you feel a little bit better and you're like, hey, get me some orange juice or whatever makes you feel better.
There
in the
are
morning.
No layups and in this offense.
Oh, that's my tight ends, the orange juice, right? The room is spinning on this offense. It's just spinning.
This offense has no layups. I think that's the biggest thing that comes to it. You watch every team.
Let me go to break with this. Ready?
Same as no layups.
Is there any trust or faith in this wide receiving core to help this team out at all? It doesn't even matter what you think about Gabriel. Do you have any faith in the wide receiving core? Do you? There's just nothing there. And I don't know if it's nothing there, because when they do make a play, it's less than 5 yards. I don't, that's your offensive play. Or there's no blockers for those guys, or they just can't. I don't know. Hangover offense was really what it feels like. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Brian Anderson coming up in the next hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.